Hi guys, welcome. This is our Develop the Productivity Mindset show, and you're welcome to another edition where we get to expound on personal productivity on an intersection of due diligence, good thinking, and not taking. And today we'll continue with the reflections on the year 2020, spotlighting some of my friends. Yes. What makes this particular edition amazing is the fact that I get to do this with Victor every year. So meet Victor, as you know.
Hi guys, my name is Victor and I'm very excited to be here with my brother on this edition. Thank you.
Yeah, so we get to do this every year. Wherever we are, we get to make sure that we fix up a new balance and actually reflect on the year together and try and see where we can make tweaks. So Victor, before for the sake of our viewers, what do you do?
Okay, so my name is Victor Yeshino. I'm an HR professional. I'm a Six Sigma white belt holder in human resources, and I currently practice HR with experiences from media companies, consulting, FMCG. And for me, I understand that people are assets. So whenever you find that people are assets, the best you can do is to help cultivate their human capital, develop it so that they can create value, whether for organizations, for businesses, and for nations. That's what I do. That's my zone. I love HR, and HR is me. Thank you.
Okay, does that include speaking? Because
okay, well, I run trainings to a few online trainings, speaking engagements there, CV writing classes, LinkedIn optimization, everything around the human capital division, particularly for undergraduates, fresh graduates, entry-level people. I have a body of knowledge that I deploy from time to time on different platforms to ensure that they are equipped to be ready for the job market. That's some of the things that I do. Thank you.
Emphasis on some. Anyways, okay. how was the year for you? How was 2020?
Wow. So I was looking at my diary. I have this diary that I keep online on Google Notes, and then in January 2020 I had plans to travel. There were a few conferences across West Africa that I hope that I'll be able to attend, but you know the way they say it, and life happened and COVID happened. In retrospect, I would say that 2020 has been my best year so far. Not because it went very smoothly. I had a major setback in April, but if I look at it from an holistic perspective, it's the best year so far. I had supersonic growth. So it's been from one day to another, trying to live, trying to breathe, trying to stay safe, and trying to see the beauty of life. But from an overall perspective, it was a year of supersonic growth. Yeah.
In that case, you know, a lot of people had this year to be very challenging. Well, it was challenging, and you know, adapting to, you know, stuff that you weren't used to, having to work from home. What particular strategy worked for you? How were you able to pull you that this year is the best so far for you?
Okay, so I had a lot of support structures. Even though I'm learning to now make them more strategic, they were just really operational support structures, WhatsApp groups, my contemporaries, mentors that I constantly stayed in touch with. To ensure that I could stay sane. And then I had a lot more time to reflect and stay indoors. So it was more of having support structures, having people to talk to when you were there. And it really just helped so that I didn't get to the point where I crashed. You know, I never crashed, even though there were a few down moments, but support structures were a huge blessing, from HR communities to spiritual communities to my own friends, my personal inner circle, and all that. It was because of support structures.
Okay. Another question, Victor. What really worked? What worked for you this year? What exactly did you do, or you plan to do, and really worked for you this year?
That's like the summary of my 2020, because One of the things I deliberately did in 2020 was to make myself visible online. It was deliberate. I mean, I've been very active on social media since 2010 when I opened Facebook and all that. And then at some point I was missing 2011, 2012. Over the years into 2016, 2017, I was very absent. But in 2018, I became more deliberate about my online visibility and, you know, things began to peak. People could link me up to this. And then this year, it was deliberate. Every post was deliberate. Every tag was deliberate. Every caption was deliberate. Online visibility was the strategy that produced major results for me this year, from people seeing my work to recommendations coming from somewhere to new platforms opening. I mean, I never planned to host a training this year. So let me give you a summary of how that happened. So I'm based in Lagos, and you know, Lagos is a very funny place. You can be mentally affected and exhausted most of the time. So a friend reached out to me and said, you know what, I know you're an HR person, we see your post, can you come do a training for us? I saw the message, I wanted to tell him, guy, busy. But I said, okay, when is the date? And then, I mean, this is something I would endlessly do. And then I did that for them effortlessly, and it worked. And another person saw that and said, we heard you're an HR professional, can you do this for us? Okay, yes, I can run the training for you. And then that happened, and then another one happened, and then back again to support structures and community. So every time I go to a place, or every place I live at different points in time, I like to be part of community. So when I was in Ilorin, I was very involved with the Yali community, and then, you know, the Yali State Coordinator Inquirer saw my post, said, can you come do a training for us? Of course, I can do a training for you. I went with my friend again. We ran a training for them. They were excited. And then the old Unilorin and Kwara State University just opened up. It was massive. From this department to this faculty to this support group, say, guy, please, I can do training for you. Like, it really just opened up everything to... So having to do some things with the African Blockchain Institute, I mean, some other organizations I may not want to mention on the camera. And I'm just like, what if I wasn't deliberate? I mean, a few days ago, a friend calls to say something like this is happening in this city. I know you can do this. Can you come do this for us? And I'm like, okay. I'm already seeing. I'm like, this is working, no? Even to interviews, I'm like, wow. So for me, the major strategy was online visibility. I was very deliberate about it, and it produced endless results. In fact, 2021 is going to be another year. Deliberate, different strategy and all that. So online visibility was a major strategy that opened up 2020 to me.
Okay, this one that you're talking about 2021 already. What should I expect?
Well, you should expect more trainings, concentrated trainings. I have different value offerings that I've done from time to time. So last year you'll see me do something like 15-minute CV review, the CV conversations, CV masterclasses, and each one has their purpose. 15-minute CV reviews are check-in calls where people just come in, I check out their CV for free, and that's it. CV masterclasses are where I have trainings around employability, how to position yourself for a job. You know, the CV conversations has a deliberate purpose, is to stir up hope in people and to help them see that there are possibilities. So this new year, there will be unveilings of new value offerings. I should create courses this year. I'll take time to create courses, deliberately create courses deliberately create courses this year. And then, because I'm very visionary, I mean, today I can say, let's just take over that place, and a day after I'm like, guy, calm down. But you should expect new courses, new content, new body of knowledge that will inspire and empower people. Like I said, what drives me is that I understand that people are assets, and when their human capital can be cultivated and harnessed, so knowledge is what helps do that, and I find satisfaction from that. That's purpose to me. So more content, new courses, maybe more appearances on social media. You know, let's keep some of those things in the back, but you will definitely see my face more in 2021. You will see my faces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, what really is the drive, like, doing all these things? Nobody does stuff like just for sake of it, just do stuff. Not that people don't generally have genuine interest in doing stuff, but what's the motive? That's really what I think.
The motive is to see a generation of people that can release their potential. And I don't want to use that word as a cliche. Knowledge is one of the things that comes naturally to me. I don't know how best to explain that, but it's like my wiring, and then being able to teach that. Teaching knowledge comes naturally to me. So usually I know that what people need to move from point A to B, whether in their career, whether in their faith, whether in anything, is knowledge. So, and this is like my own wiring. So in my mind, I'm like, we need to move you. Don't you get it? That's why someone was saying that, why do you do a lot of things for free? I was on a coaching call with an older friend reviewing his CV for 45 minutes. I didn't have to do it, but I did that with joy. Like guys, you need to get this thing. I'm like, if I can do that for free, there's a joy and satisfaction that comes from people getting the knowledge that I can deliver to them, and also releases the ability for them to execute. So that fulfillment of human potential is what drives me through webinars, through trainings, through conversations like this. So I'll do that again if you can find as many people that can come up. I mean, there are a lot of things that people can do to move from zero to one, really, literally. And because I'm still very much in touch with the campus environment, I see a lot of loopholes now, and I'm like, guys don't you know this, can we just do something for you? So human potential, people releasing the best versions of themselves, is what drives me. And how I do that is by communicating knowledge. That will give you satisfaction.
You know something, something that struck my mind now, Victor. You know, oftentimes when you said something about creating courses and stuff, what's your take on, you know, oftentimes you have the skill, and I don't know, I think it has to, I don't know how to structure the question,
okay,
but let me just put it out. You know, you have the skill, you are doing this stuff, and you're like, okay, how can I monetize this stuff? Or am I sure that this thing makes a lot of sense?
When did you get to the stage that
someone will say that it's not just CV writing?
It's not just CV writing.
You understand what I'm saying?
No.
I can do this stuff, like, what's the big deal? You know, I don't want to mention brands.
I get.
But then I've seen people do stuff and they're like, and then when what's it called? When people get the what's it called, the service they requested for, is it not just this? Is it not? How do you measure value? How do you know that, oh, this is value? I don't know if you understand what
I'm saying. I get your question. I'll answer it in many ways. Now, first is, for some people, it is a deliberate step to say, you know what, I think I have a value that can benefit a particular market.
Okay.
And then I want to begin to charge for it. For some people, it's spontaneous. It just gets to a point where people say, guy, you can do this thing. Guy, you can do this. Why not just charge for it? For some people, it's like that, and then they now begin to do the entire structure, building a market, building a community, becoming more visible, pricing, you know, all that narrative, sales strategy. Let's not get into that. For me, it was spontaneous, and you know, because of my background and how I grew up, some of the experiences I had on campus, I mean, I'm glad we are shooting this in your environment. It brings back a lot of memories. I will never get to a point, and I'm saying this in camera, where even when I become a platinum figure that charges high-end corporates, that I will still not do some things for free for a class of people. Why? This is my wiring. It comes naturally to me. Knowledge is it for me. So, have I started really charging? I'm still playing with it, really. I've not taken it very seriously, not because I don't want to, but I love being in my zone. I know that sometimes people can take you for granted. You need to begin to place a value for yourself, but I think that people should evolve. So whether it happens to you spontaneously or you are deliberate about it, I think you should evolve. I think you should build a community. I think that you should be known for your work. You get to a point where when they want to think about that product or service, your name is the one that comes to mind. And when you do that, many other doors will open. Some people will value your gift, some people will not. And then as your time becomes precious, you now begin to, you know, diversify your value offerings. These are the things I do for free. These are the things I do for classified. I mean, these are things people pay for and all that. But it still boils down to personality. But then you must also place value on yourself. So whichever way it is, be known for your work and be known for the impact that your work creates. So let me take an example from that severity thing that is it not just CV? Can we just write it and all that? Yes, there is a sense in which that perspective is true, and there are a lot of people who write CVs for people that are not even HR professionals. But what is most important is if the quality of service or product they are delivering for you, they are doing for you, helps to provide the target result that you want it for. Because I have experiences from the recruitment room. I'm writing from a perspective of someone who knows how to work with that document, because I've been in recruitment spaces several times. So whichever way it is, I also think it's about perception, really. People really, when they pay for services, they may not exactly know what they want, but they just think this person can do. So if that person is the person that's available and is visible and can do it for them, just do it for me, I get my, and we move on. So when you don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of those who are very who have built proficiency in that and are expert, you now say, okay, I want this person to do this for me. But whichever way, I think that whether we are core people in a particular field or not, as long as you are delivering value that people can design and you're not scanning them and you're making your money, I think everybody's fine. Really, I think everybody's fine. I hope that answers your question. I know I've talked about
several things. You got the stuff. Yeah. I was talking about. Now, okay, we'll talk about background. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
And before then, because I know that it's a journey.
Yes.
You didn't just get where you are. What exactly didn't work this year? You know, a number of things worked.
Yes.
Boom. So, I know that some things didn't work too. For instance, your travel plans.
Did it work?
Yeah. For instance, my travel plans didn't work too. So what are those things that didn't work for you this year?
Okay, so I'm a very visionary and ambitious person, because I think that the world is there for the taking, so if they can have it, why can't I? So that's the motivation that drives how I reach out to opportunities. There were a few opportunities, particularly for my career, man. That's like the most important phase of my life at the moment, that I plan to leverage on, that would really open me up to bigger opportunities. And many of them bounced. It was rejection. In fact, I had a major career setback in April, which was unplanned, but then life happens. And one of the things I learned from that is that failure does not define you. I mean, failure is an event. Your persona is much more than that event. That's one. How you see yourself is very important. I mean, we can't take away self-esteem, self-awareness. How you see yourself is just very important. And how I was able to, you know, mitigate the effect of many of the things that I had planned that didn't work out still falls back to online visibility. And I do advise that let people know the skills and competencies that you have. That was a major one for me. Despite there were a lot of opportunities. I was just looking at my mail, thread of mails in November, and I'm like, guy, you don't try. Guy, like I said, no, Victor, you tried in 2020. Was like, let's just get our head, because I knew the value of what institutions and platforms can do for you. Let's not be emotional about this. I mean, it really just can change you from zero to one. By the way, don't mind if I'm saying zero to one. There's a book by Peter Thiel that is zero to one. I mean, it really just opens the game. So let people know you for your skills and competences. And that was it. Let your mentors know you for your skills and competences. Let your contemporaries know what you can do. Let those who also look up to you know you for that. It's just a matter of time. The game changer will come around. And that was what produced my game changer from the bad experiences of 2020 into what I call a supersonic year in terms of growth. I mean, so many things that I may not be able to say camera, but a lot of things happened, and it was just from, even though things went bad, be visible. Let people see your face, let people know you for your work. And it's not just about the metrics or about the talk, but about the value and impact that you are creating, and that gives more credibility. Recommendations came, and here we are, December 31st. I still feel that some calls will come in before. I mean, this is one video we are shooting now. I know that. So it was visibility for me. That's it.
Okay, let me just ask you, just answer very briefly. How do you handle rejections?
I don't know how to answer briefly, but I would say this, that I'll use personal examples and my overview of life. When I understand that life presents a wide array of opportunities, reality is we don't always get everything that we want. Not because we are not competent, not because we are not the best people for the job, but there are just a lot of factors and dynamics that defines the algorithm through which selections for people who make whatever lots are selected or not. So my understanding of this helps me not to become emotional. When things happen that don't work, I simply move on. I don't take things to heart. I don't take, even 3 years ago when things were not as beautiful as they are now, I don't take things to heart. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, I move on. But all I ensure is at every shot, I put my best foot forward. So I don't take things personal. I don't take it emotionally. So it doesn't get to me. It moves. I don't attach myself to opportunities, to systems, to places, because I know that things can always go bad, and I always don't want to break away because things go bad, because some of the reasons why things go bad may not even be in my power. So this is based on what other people choose to do or not to do. So I don't want my emotions to be hanging on what people choose to do or what they choose not to do. So because I understand that fundamentally, and then I was saying something earlier that I understand that as much as life presents a wide array of opportunities, things do not always come to us, not because we are not the best fit for it or not because we are not competent. There's just a lot of dynamics that affects the algorithm through which selection is made. So when I understand that, I put my best foot forward, I close my eyes, and let's wait for the result. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, quite well. Now, you said something about mentors as well.
Yeah.
Now, I know that someone would probably be watching and, you know, has you know, when it comes to mentorship,
yeah,
I don't know, it looks like a very vague word.
Yeah.
So I don't know, let's just spotlight mentorship, then we can all delve into.
Okay. I think that at every point we find ourselves in life, there will always be people who have walked that path. Wisdom teaches that if you want to move from, sorry, I'm using from zero to one, if you, let's say from here to there,
it's fine.
why not just speak with people, engage people who have gone ahead, so it makes your journey faster. That's wisdom. So how you now go about it can now be structured mentorship, where you reach out to somebody and then there's a plan for you based on what you want to learn from them, or better still, you follow from afar. But that process of looking at the example and track record of those who have gone ahead of us, to be able to replicate that in a way that you produce higher results, faster results, and also in a way that benefits the community. I always see community. So if, for example, we have I don't want to mention names in this video, you have a thought leader that you look up to in his space and he's doing amazing work in his space and you want to be like him, don't just look at wanting to be like him and have his result. Look at the mountain where he's playing. Look at the space and market where he's playing. So when you are coming in your own generation, look at the innovation and the gap you want to bridge in that space, so that the mentorship is not just producing something for you in terms of helping you release your personal gift, giving you visibility, you becoming famous, you become a celebrity, but you are also actively solving problems in the society. That's what I see mentorship as, moving you from where you are to where you want to be by looking at the track record of those who have gone ahead of you.
Interesting. Yeah. I hope that helps someone in the choice of,
yes, exactly. Whether it's your faith, whether it's your business, whether it's your career, I mean, you want to go there, simply just ask those who have gone before, how did you do this thing? Let's make the journey faster. Not because you want to shrink process, really. I know that at different points in our lives we'd still have to go through process. You don't get double promotion in some phases. You still have to walk that path. However, how you walk it, the level of self-awareness that you have, knowledge, exposure, helps you to even enjoy that process. So that when you come out refined, it's always about value. you come out refined, and then you can create more value, you know, bless more lives, and obviously make more money. That's it, really. Really. So you don't want to skip that part. Everybody has to. However, how you go about it, just differ. Mentors help to, you know, make it shorter. You hear people say, it took me, this book is a product of 40 years of experience. Sir, I'm still very young. I'm a millennial. I don't want to do that. So just show us how it is done. We will do it the way it's supposed to be done, and we move. Do you understand? Yes, that's how it is. Let's just move. You don't have to go through that part of 40 years. Come on now. I mean, come on. No. Wrong. I mean, go wrong. No. Let's not do it like that. It makes life, because we do not have, I'm sorry I'm saying this, I mean, I'm enjoying this. We don't have the luxury of time to go through all the ingredients that is needed in the recipe for our success. We don't have that luxury in time of time. So why not just leverage, shrink process. Ensure you learn the work. But leverage, shrink process, move faster, play your part in the journey, let other people come on board. I mean, I'm just seeing, that's what I'm saying. I'm seeing impact, I'm seeing community, I'm seeing value. And on. It keeps rippling and all that. We can make the world a better place. So,
and let me just add this. In as much as we all have to go through the process,
yes.
One thing that all of those insights, particularly for instance, when we encounter some of these meetings and all, one of these insights that I know that we picked helped me trust the process.
Yeah.
You know, I just know that, it will come out fine. Yeah. It's not like I'm fine, but I know it will come out exactly. Fine because I've seen it work for
the
others.
Process is like a report card,
exactly.
That shows this person has been certified.
He
doesn't just have the knowledge, he has the knowledge and commensurate experience that qualifies him in whatever mountain, in whatever discipline, to stand before you and deliver this value. He has been certified. It's a law of life. He works.
Mm, let's talk about your journey here, right here.
Okay.
What was your journey? You know, you said something about failure the other time. Interestingly, I wrote an article about failure this morning.
Yeah.
And you know, oftentimes we just be like, oh my god, and then we want to shrink. But then, have you ever failed at doing anything?
Wow. Of course I have. Now, come on. I can talk about that.
How you handled it.
So this place brings about a lot of memories, and one of the reasons why I am willing to share this openly now is because I've moved past that stage, and my life wants to always inspire and empower people. So I know that there's someone that would eventually see this someday and know that there are people who have gone through that before and their life can turn out very beautifully. So if I'm also going through that, my life can turn out beautifully. So a major failure that, let me not say has defined me, but is something I can't take away from my journey, really, because it really just changed the game. And I think that may also lead to your next question is, I'm a very brilliant student. I mean, by the time you watch this video, you at least know that this guy's head is correct. Much sure you get. And then, you know, I came into University of Ibadan with that energy and vibe, wanted to study engineering. Somehow I didn't make the cutoff, had to fill in for another course, statistics. And then, I mean, I was good in mathematics, so I thought that was going to work out, you know. I mean, I'm smiling, but this is.
Man,
and then, you know, 100 level came. The plan was to eventually cross to engineering. And to look back at it, I mean, I'm not sure I'll function well in engineering today. This is not to say that engineering is not good. I mean, at some point, I will still do some things around engineering, maybe in my line of work. So the plan was to eventually cross to petroleum engineering, you know. 100 level, we just failed. Money's in oil and gas, you know, all those kind of things we used to have. And then 100 level started, you know, I was trying to get used to the UI environment, University of Ibadan, you know. And then things got bad from my 100 level first semester. I mean, I was failing from 100 level first semester, but I just felt, you know what, we're going to do that, we'll take the course again. And then 100 level second semester, failed again, failed two more courses, made it three courses and failed in 100 level. You know, when we get to 200 level, I just said to myself, we'll wrap it up together. 200 level, it was, oh my God. It was back to back. It was bad. And then I failed again in 200 level. Ah, like, you know what, when we get to 300 level, we're going to take it again. You know, the way you are used to work at that time, by the time you had four unit courses on a 7 point grading system and you have 10 of those courses, you do 4 by 10 by 7, that's 280 points. If you give any average student 280 points in the school, they won't graduate with a bad grade. Sincerely, I'm saying right now in this university, if you give any student 280 points, just take that point and get out, they will not fail. So at the end of 300 level in statistics, it was glaring that, I mean, my CGPA was it was like this. And then it occurred to me that I needed to change how I lived my life. I couldn't proceed to 400 level with my contemporaries because, I mean, if you didn't pass those courses, how do you want to take 10 more courses, 10 more carryover courses in 400 level? Like, at that point, I began to think about it. It was one of my, and I'm not emotional about this, I'm happy saying this, I'm happy sharing this, it was one of my lowest points in life. I mean, I'm looking back, I'm like, it was really bad. At some point, I was close to having thoughts of committing suicide, really. I didn't go to grab something or want to take one chemical, but those thoughts really came. I felt really down. I felt really down, you know, a few issues from family, and I felt alone. And then it was obvious that I needed to switch to another faculty, another department where my class of grade would at least, you know, fit into what's going on there, you know. And then the search began on the same campus. I mean, you can't go to the engineering faculty or the medical sciences. You have to come to a faculty that would at least take you at that level. And then, you know, the options were education, faculty of education, and faculty of the social sciences. And like I said again, I'm not saying this from an emotional perspective. This is my story, and I'm enjoying saying it because I've moved past that. I remember, you know, speaking to a few friends, and it goes back to support structure. So I was a part of a strong student organization at that time, and the Student Christian Movement. And, you know, I had a few support from people who could give me recommendations to say, you know, go speak with this person, let's see how they can help. On a few occasions, I remember walking into a particular department at the Faculty of Social Sciences, and the HOD says, your grade is bad. If UI wants to let you go, please go to Poly. I was shattered. I still remember that picture as I speak now. It was bad. My CGPA was 1 point. Oh my God, let me not mention it. It was bad. And my friends keep saying, Victor, we know you are brilliant. I know I'm brilliant. I know. But the board is not saying it. So, like, we know. I know. But my grades were not saying it. And it really got to me. I mean, I spent 3 years already. We had strike in 2013, 6 months and all that stuff. And then I'm here in 2014, December, 300 level, you are hanging. So when my friends got into 400 level in statistics, I could not join with them. So I needed to move to another department. And the way UI system work, another department has to accept you before. So if one ejects you and the other one does not welcome you, you are a finished work or you are done. And then you, week one, week two, week three, week four, week five, my friends were not seeing me in class. And yet I didn't have another department. And up to about the 6th week, eventually work, got admitted into sociology. I mean, my wiring was the analytical mindset on the sciences. I needed to learn their way of doing things in that place. So I used the first semester to balance where the grades didn't come out well. Ha! Like why? And then because of my participation and my involvement in that student organization, I'd become so to say someone that people now knew on campus as someone that is valuable. So some people are wondering, Victor, what are you doing in social sciences? And you know, I mean, some of my mentees who were supposed to be in two classes, you are laughing. You can laugh about it in my story. Who were supposed to be two classes behind me, and they're like, pardon me, what's going on? I said, don't worry, just focus on the class. It was bad. it was really bad. And I'm like, sir, did you come to greet somebody? So I have a lecture with you. We are not in 20 level. I like, hey, do you have material? Let's do this thing. But you know, started again 200 level on a fresh slate. And then I feel the course again. I was almost thinking, maybe this is a spiritual problem. You know, from an African perspective, you want to look at it again, that, you know, guy, there are a few things that you know, sorted out. Let's sort out this thing. It was one of my lowest moments. But at that time, I had, and then my friends had moved to 400 level. And, you know, it was just clear. The margin was clear. We could not talk again. We could not relate on the same level. I still had a few friends around, and then, you know, we did 200 level like that in sociology, and then it was into 300 level in sociology. I'd balanced well, you know. I now liked my courses. It was about knowledge, it was about reading history, it was about reading about the works of other people's theories. It was where my passion for thought leadership began to build, really. And then at that point, I began to volunteer. I remember volunteering with Zozo Networks Africa. There's a reason why I'm mentioning that on that video, because for a lot of us that were part of Zozo at that time, it really just opened up a lot to us. So I'm now in sociology, I'm now doing volunteering, and I began to see that I had this contentment, this fulfillment when I could bring people together, we plan together towards a project, it works, everybody's fine, everybody brings in their quota in terms of the human capital, everything just works. And that was where the old journey about HR began. And then, you know, funny enough, HR is a very significant part of sociology. If I take it at the master's level here in your university, and then 300 level, okay, what do you want to do? 400 level, I still had some grades that I needed to level up again. And, you know, as at 400 level first semester, I still had the carryover to write. My God. This is my sixth year in school. Plus or minus Asus strike, like, can we just leave this place, please? Like, just let me go. And then I need to take the carryover course. And at that point, all my friends are there. I had just one friend or two of them were taking, who were in veterinary medicine or medical science. Those were taking 6-year courses. It was bad, but like, it was one of my lowest moments in life. I almost crashed, and this is like the first time I'm publicly talking about it. I almost crashed because at that point, which was my sixth year on campus, I could barely walk around any faculty, any hall, any department, or any street on this campus. We know you, sir. We know you. Yeah, good afternoon. Like somehow people just knew me for the things I was deeply involved in at that time, and I'm like, let's just leave this place. They don't want to see you next year and say, sir, are you not done yet? Like, I'm done. And then I'm happy things eventually worked out with my project and everything. I scaled through and we're done with University of Badon. That's a major failure story, and that story is what opened me up into what I'm doing today. I mean, human capital development is my vibe. That's what I want. I can do that sleeping. And so I would say failure opened me up to discover purpose. And then I was able to evaluate the reason why I had consistent failure, which means that if you are doing something in a way and it's producing a kind of result, if you want another kind of result, change the kind of thing you are doing. So one of the things I did was to reduce my involvement in some student organizations I was deeply involved with. I had to bring that down drastically. I needed to have new kinds of friends in the direction that I needed to go. And over time, everything just began to add up. And that story, that failure story, has opened me up into some of the biggest things that I'm so proud about. And people are like, Victor, that guy's amazing. I know, but you don't know that. it was really bad. That's a major, but it really opened me up to everything. And today I'm doing HR effortlessly, beyond even doing HR. I mean, human capital development is the passion. HR in the workplace is one way. There are several other ways to release this fragrance. Some could be in my local church, some could be in other entrepreneurial work I'm involved in, some could be through the initiatives that are going to come up in 2021 and many years to come. So that failure opened me up, because I now got into sociology and I got sociology. I'm like, yes, this is my zone. Take away the YDX, take away integrals, take away real numbers, take away all those things, take away Cauchy series. Like, I don't want to see those things. I don't want to prove for 4 pages anymore. And it really just worked out. So I'm happy that I failed that time, because it has produced a level of self-awareness that has landed me on the path of purpose. Yeah. So the biggest thing I learned from that failure story is that failure does not define you. And I was saying earlier that there's a commensurate level of knowledge and experience that certifies you to stand before any people, before any market, to deliver the kind of value that you want to give them, which means that you don't only know it, you have worked it. It is you. They can see it. So when you stand before them, you are not just releasing the motivation for them to execute. You are also releasing the ability. It's not just to steer them up. There's that execution power for them to become, which is key. So when I say I'm passionate about human capital, that you have something in you, and I'm hoping that through the things I can say to you, you can move from year to year. By the time I've shared not just principles, I mean, there were other things I did, like changing the kind of friends I had, changing the kind of books I read, changing the kind of conferences and events I attended. They were major things. People, places, and communities changed everything. People, places, and information, rather, changed everything. People, places, and information. So when those things changed, the kind of result I now wanted now began to show up, and I'm like, so this thing can be this sweet and other. And, you know, one of the things I also learned from that failure story is to always do the right things. To be very honest, I hope my friends don't see this. I was not a diligent student, to be honest.
No.
Let's just keep it like that.
I didn't know. I didn't know you were actually going to open this.
I was not a diligent. To be honest, if you want to have results, be diligent. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, I saw a particular UI student that had a 7/7 maybe 2 years ago, last session. Don't heavy this person. Person has done the work. Person has come correct. So the results have to show. Now that I'm in the corporate space, I'm doing some other. I know you have to. You don't say MMMMM before. What's the meaning of that? You want to always show up excellently, guy. So you have to do the work. I didn't do the work. Do you get? But you know, we're done with UI now. It didn't get that bad. I'm happy where I am now. That's what's most important. You know,
I actually didn't know where.
I was not diligent, to be honest.
I didn't know we're going to go this far.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I think one of these days we'll probably get Dan, Victor.
Okay.
And then we'll tell our UI story.
Please don't do that. Because it's not where it's going to help you.
Really, because no, you just poured me up and you just poured me up to. The reality of the fact that, so in as much as we talk about being vulnerable, in as much as we talk about some of these things that we do stuff, it's quite important that people also see where we're coming from.
Yes.
We're not telling the stories because I definitely had my own share of the UI stories.
It was bad. Please, let's not talk about it. It's good we are here now.
But then, we just thank God for where we are.
Yeah.
And the most important thing, so that people can see that when we say that, trust the process, it's a journey. We're not just saying it because
we are showing you.
We want to fake it so that you can see that you can actually make it. Or what's this? Is it
fake it till you make it?
No, that's not it. It's out of our own experience.
Yes.
It's out of our experience, what we went through. Thank you so much for you really poured out.
I didn't plan to say that, but I mean, it's my story, and I think that somebody would be inspired from this. Yeah.
Because every year, Victor and I get to sit down and reflect on the past year, see what we are doing differently, how we could chart a better course, what we are improving on. So doing this in front of camera is really weird. And then I'll
first
be
time.
Seeing all the pens and papers.
Yeah,
and
writing
stuff. And more importantly, it's what's it called? We just want you to learn from it. I just told him that, you know what, we're doing this and we're putting it out. So that one person, even if it's just one person, that this makes sense to.
Yes.
So that you can know that you're not alone. And you're going somewhere, you're on a journey, so fix up. It's important that you make necessary changes. You know, like I would always say, test something as fast as possible.
Exactly.
When you fail, adjust as fast as possible.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. So, what exactly would you be doing differently next year?
First thing would be self-care.
Self-care.
I used to keep a record of my finances, how much I spend. I've been doing that since as far back 2013. I have this notebook day in, day out, how much you spend on this. And then I got more serious with it in 2018, you know. And then I was looking through the year. I'm like, guy, this amount of money has come in your hands and you've given out this particular percentage to other people. I mean, I'm all for wanting to impact that, and that's something about visionaries. You want to bless people, you want to impact people, you want to impact people. But I found out that I don't take care of myself. I don't spend on myself. It feels weird when I'm trying to buy something. This year alone, I was looking at analysis of my family, like, guy, how do you make this money now? So that's even from spending on myself in terms of luxury, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Self-care is what I'm going to prioritize. You know, there are times in life when you need to be selfish. You need to spend time with you. It is in spending time with you that you have enough energy to empower the world, to bless the world. And I'm doing a lot of that this year. That's number one. Second one is relationships. So there's this Excel sheet I'm going to open up. I already have the template where I'm analyzing my relationship. It's strategic and operational. We are the new relationships I opened up. Like I said, who are the mentors? Who are the sponsors? Who are the contemporaries? Who are the people who look up to you and all that? Now, I'm not one, and this is a personal opinion, that is, you know, there's this narrative around check the contact on your phone, delete, and all that. There's a sense in which that is true. I mean, at some point in your life, you really just don't want to have some people around. But always look from the perspective that people are assets. People are assets. There may not be a need for a conversation today, but 2 years from now, it won't be like you don't know this person. So relationship, first one is self-care. Second one is relationships. And the last one is my appearance, online visibility. I'm going to be more deliberate than ever, because I see that that's what produces more opportunities for me. I mean, I got major opportunities this year, and it was just because people could see my work. Self-care, relationships, and online visibility. Yeah.
Interesting. So we are still on the same course.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your favorite book you read this year?
So I didn't get to read many books this year. I attended a lot of webinars.
Did you get tired of Zoom?
Yes, I was. Zoom, Microsoft Teams, webinars, GoToWebinar. But I think I read about 3 books. The Richest Man in Babylon. Mm. Yes, opened my eyes to the journey of building wealth. Yes, The Richest Man in Babylon. Yes, Richest Man in Babylon.
How about music?
My favorite song of 2021 or 2020? Favorite song of 2020. It's hard to pin it to one, because so one of the things I do now is I try to keep a diary every month, and then in that diary I write key experiences and songs that carry me through those experiences. I'm a Christian. I'll say Maverick City. Maverick City music did it for me in 2020. Maverick City music. Yeah. Maverick City.
Interesting. A lot of people have been mentioning Maverick. It was really nice doing this.
Thank you so much. I had fun. Yeah. I'm still enjoying this. Really, it's something we get to do every year, and I think that beyond Victor and Dibola, who are friends, who get to chit chat at this time of day, I think that this video is really going to open up a lot of things from now. I don't know, but I think that the fact that we are shooting as a video this year is not a coincidence. And by God's grace, by the time we come back again 1 year from now, we'll just see that this video was the game changer. Mark my words, it's just really going to open up everything. This is the game changer. This is it. It's not a coincidence.
Yeah, this is a game changer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
I'll do this again and again, again and again and again.
I know, interestingly, if there's anything I'll be doing in the coming year, I will be very intentional with everything.
Yeah.
If I want to sleep, I'll be intentional about sleeping. You know, I walking through you, I had a very terrible sleeping pattern. If I want to sleep, I will intentionally sleep, as in nothing by any means. So intentionality is the first thing about it. So once again, thank you so much, Victor. Thank you for every time I've had to call.
It's a great pleasure.
You know, there was a time I had to bring together some students from some universities, some of them were from the Mustafa community. And we just needed to talk career and all, just help some people with stuff in case. I just got Victor very short notice and we're still like, thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. That's my drive, really. I'll do that again and again and again and again. And then I also like supporting my friends. I think that one of the things we can do for ourselves at this stage of our life is to support our contemporaries with what they are doing, whether it's money, whether it's your skill. Help them be part of people that can help them see that their vision can work. Really, that their potential can work. So if whatever support you can, I like to always support my friend. And I'll do this again and again and again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dibola. It's a pleasure.
I want to believe that you had an amazing time. I think this is the last one. I want to believe you had an amazing time listening to Victor and I reflect on the year 2020. And at this point, I really want to say thank you for your support. Thank you for coming this far. I know that this is the longest interview we've ever had on this show, really. And I know that it's worth every minute, it's worth all of it. So just try and ensure that you do us a favor, kindly share this video with your friends, anyone you actually do know that, okay, should actually glean on some of the things that we share. Please share as much as you can. Share the link, share the video. Please subscribe to this channel as well. You can like the video. If you have any question, you can actually drop it in the comment section. Also, Victor talked about a particular Excel sheet that he said he wanted to use to work on relationships. I'll be sharing that Excel sheet with members of the Mayweather newsletter community in the month of February. Yeah. So if you really want that, you can also subscribe to receive our weekly newsletter.
Yeah.
And the link will be in the comment section box. Yeah. All right, thank you so much for today. I'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.